Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation here this evening. If you would like to give us a call tonight, you can call us toll-free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the radio here this evening with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And we're going to go ahead and get our program started here this evening with a word of prayer. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Father, bless the program. Help us to lift up and glorify Christ through it. Pray that we could point those that are searching to Christ and again encourage believers in their walk with you as well. Father, use us for your glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight. And let you know, if you look back a year from now, I saw somebody mention this online that this week, 1 year ago, was our last normal week. You ever stop to think about that? 1 week ago, I remember last year in March, and I'm going to pull my pocket calendar out. I still have one of those old-fashioned pocket calendars here, and I like it partly because I can flip back through the dates real easily. And as I flip through the dates here back to March of last year, we were at the Bringing America Back to Life rally back then on March the 6th and 7th last year. I was helping somebody out at a booth. Some of our listeners are familiar with Bill Fetter, the author, a lot of Christian histories and very good resources that he has. And he was speaking at the Bringing America Back to Life rally or conference last year. And so I was helping him out at his book table. And we were talking about this virus that was going on in China and how numbers of Chinese people were disappearing and the things that were coming out, some of the information that was coming out of China at the time. And then, of course, that was the first weekend in March. And it was the last event at the hotel here in Independence that had it. The event that was scheduled the following weekend had to cancel. And so everybody's lives were upended just about a year ago. And I guess one thing to ask, how's that 15 days to flatten the curve working out for you? Has it worked yet? In Daniel chapter 9, it talks about the weeks of years. I think we've got years of days here going on. And somebody pointed out, they didn't tell us what 15 days. Maybe the 15 days were the 1st of April, the 1st of August, the 1st of September, so 15 months. But, I think the last I heard is that Biden was saying that a year from now, or next year, 2022, by fall, we might consider think about going back to normal. Well, thankfully, some states, Texas, for instance, Mississippi, I think Connecticut now, have joined Florida, and there's some other states, I guess, signing on now. It might be North Dakota, and some others, and joining some of the states that have already opened up, and they are opening up. They're ending their mask mandates. They're ending their lockdowns, ending their quarantine, curfews and all those sorts of things, and they're getting back to normal. And we have seen some surges in the job market, not because Biden is doing such a great job managing the economy. Have you been to the gas station lately? It's almost $3 a gallon here. My wife was talking to her father the other day, and where he lives, it was over $3 a gallon. No, because these states are opening up, people are going back to work. And hopefully, prayerfully, Ohio, finally, Governor DeWine will see the light and start opening Ohio back up as well. Well, we pray for these people. And speaking of prayer, let's see. We did pray, didn't we? I think at the start already. I was ready to pray again. What I do need to mention, though, of course, is our website. And again, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And you can find us online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. If you'll go there, you can find not only past programs, but also a number of other bits and pieces of materials there that you can find. I have some articles and things that are there that you can look up, hopefully be a blessing to you, and links to our church website for the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. You can find all that, links to our social media, all at livewithpastoral.com. And let's see, I want to also remind you here in the first half of the program, before I get busy and forget about it, there's a benefit spaghetti dinner on Saturday, March the 20th, from 4 to 9 p.m. at Grace Baptist Church in Brunswick. They're located at 3480 Laurel Road. And the reason I'm mentioning this is the family member is a member of our church, and his son recently passed away, and his family is trying to pay off the medical bills, and rather large medical bills. And this is a benefit dinner for the family. And for more information, you can contact Cliff at 216-903-7709. That's Cliff at 216-903-7709, or Nadine at 440-522-9986. That's Nadine at 440-522-9986. I do not have this linked on my livewithpastoral.com webpage yet. I hope to get it on there soon, like in the next day or two, since this is fast approaching March 20th. It'll be here before you know it. And this is a spaghetti dinner benefit. The cost is $15. It includes all you can eat, homemade spaghetti and meatballs, bread, salad, beverages, and dessert. And they're going to have some different things going on during the dinner. And if you don't want to go in or don't have time to go in, you can also have curbside pickup or carry out as well. So give them a call, Cliff, 216-903-7709, or Nadine, 440-522-9986. And even if you can't make it and you just would like to try to help out, I'm sure they wouldn't refuse a $15 donation, even if you're not able or don't want to have the spaghetti dinner. But I think I've heard some positive things. I guess they're making preparations for different things. But I just wanted to share that, and hopefully it'll be a blessing to this family, and that way they can help recoup some of the medical expenses that they have. All right, well, we're going to get back into our program again. Check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. If you've got a question about the Bible, though, or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call today, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we've got Tom on the line. And Tom, welcome to the program this evening.
Hey, Pastor, how you doing? Well,
I'm doing well.
A little bit on the lighter side to start off. It's in Ohio, it's more like 15 months to flatten the curve.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. We're talking about Daniel, you know, where he has the prophecy in Daniel chapter 9 of the weeks of years that they talked about, the 70 weeks that were prophesied, and each week corresponded to a seven-year, you know, 7 years. It's not seven, you know, they weren't actual days, they were weeks of years as opposed to weeks of days. And I thought, yeah, the 15, it must be 15 months of days or something, or days of months or whatever. But yeah, it's gone on a lot longer than the 15 days, hasn't it?
Well, it is. And it seems like he's kind of set kind of a lofty standard there. 50 cases of COVID, 100,000. For a 2-week period per day, I think that's pretty low standard even in flu season.
Oh yeah, you're right, and I really do think he's trying to have it both ways, because I believe he wants to be reelected.
He enjoys the power.
Oh yeah, and he really enjoys the power, and I think he likes the national acclaim that he gets for being tough, being one of the Republican governors that's tough on this virus.
Oh, and, yeah, well, they're always got him on the liberal media shows, you know.
But at the same time, he holds out a little crumb to people like us every once in a while, you know, a little crumb that maybe we'll just get through if you people behave yourselves out there.
Yeah. Well, I was pretty skeptical knowing his track record when he ran for governor. So,
well, and of course, the alternative at that time, it's sometimes you might have thought, you in retrospect, you might think the alternative would have been better, because he might have been so incompetent that he didn't get anything done.
Right, and I'm going to say one other thing, and then I got a quick question for
you, sir.
And I'm going to get off because I know you got other callers.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been watching what's going on, and we got this, I think it's House Bill 5 that's really...
Right, the Equality Act, the Equality Act, House Bill, House Resolution 5, H.R. 5.
I don't know which way Joe Manchin's going to go, but I think he's got a pretty decent heart, and I think he's a pretty moderate Democrat, as you know, if there is such a thing today.
Yeah, I'm
hoping that God, if we pray for him, and maybe he will, cast his vote on these really, really bad bills that are coming up against them. So we need to pray for him, hold him up in prayer. Mm-hmm. There might be one or two others in the Democratic
right
there that can be swayed on some really critical things where the progressives are going way too far.
Yeah, and I do think there is some pushback in the Democrat Party, because we have seen the pendulum since the ascendancy of Barack Obama a number of years ago. We've really seen the pendulum in the Democrat Party swinging further and further to where they really ought to be called the Democrat Socialist Party, or maybe the Socialist Democrat Party. One could argue that maybe we just get rid of Democrat entirely and just call it the Socialist Party, because basically, when you look at Kamala Harris and some of the things that Biden is signing, if he knows what he's signing, they look like the Socialist Party more than anything else.
Well, they changed. You know, if you think about it, you study history a little bit, you can see a drastic change in the Democratic Party even as early as in the years following the death of President Kennedy.
Oh, yeah. And looking at Obama in the recent years for most people, but yeah, you're absolutely right, because Lyndon Johnson, when he came into the office of president, he really did some things that,
Well, he escalated the war.
Yeah, Vietnam. And he also had a tendency to reveal secret classified information in press conference. That's a whole other story. But, he started moving, I think, in that direction. But even as recently as Ronald Reagan, remember Ronald Reagan, Tip O'Neill was the Speaker of the House at the time. And even though they disagreed vehemently on policy issues and things like that, they were known to get together and have lunch or have dinner. And they seemed to more or less enjoy each other's company and respect their differences. Anymore, you look at the Speaker of the House today and the way Pelosi would react to President Trump. and the venomous things that she would say, and the hatred, and the vile attitude that she displayed towards President Trump.
Well, you just wonder how these people get to stay in power all these years is beyond me. But
I know a lot of people don't like the idea of term limits, but I think that we really do need them because the power of the incumbency is so great.
I do too.
So great. I mean, in my congressional district that I'm in, the U.S. House district here, we have the illustrious.
Maybe we ought to cap it like 12 years for, you know.
Because we had the illustrious
senators and maybe 8 years for congressmen.
Something like that. Because Marsha Fudge here, she came in to fulfill a term. Name slips my mind right now. Her predecessor, who died while in office, and so she came in to fill that term, and she's since used the power of the incumbency, plus the fact she has a D after her name, to maintain her hold on that district. And then a number of years ago, we were redistricted into where Richfield and Bath and Fairlawn, as well as Broadview Heights and Seven Hills, got thrown in with East Cleveland, South Euclid, especially the east side of Cleveland, and some of those areas like that. It's just we've had a good candidate in some good candidates that have tried to run against her, but they just can't get traction because that power of the incumbency. And so we need to pray for.
Pray is the first and foremost thing right now.
Exactly, because when we look at the advantage that these people have, and then when you look at the system that's skewed towards them, with in terms of some of the voter fraud and things like that that's going on, it's just horrible.
Yeah.
And
I was going to ask you one quick question because I wanted to get this in.
Get caught up in the political side there.
Got other folks that want to call. So I'm watching Israel lately, and I was surprised when they did that little strike over there in Iran, I believe. Or Iraq.
Iraq, I believe it was some Iranian-backed Syria. That's right. It was Syria. They were Iraqi troops, but they were backed by Iran. So basically all three are involved, Iraq, Syria, and Iran.
Well, the Secretary of Defense, and Biden, they ordered this strike, and I was kind of surprised to see it because, I didn't think they were going to get that aggressive. I was surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering, the way things are shaping up over there, Pastor Al, with these countries and everything, it's interesting. And I'm just wondering, when is, I think it's Ezekiel 38, maybe you could correct me or confirm it, that, that could be unfolding fairly soon. I've heard you talking about, was it Ezekiel 38 or somewhere?
Well, there's Ezekiel 38 that more directly involves Iran, but there's also Psalm 83, which is a situation that involves Syria and Egypt, what would be Iraq and Jordan today, and also a portion of Iran. You had the portion of Iran, what is it? I want to say Elam. It's a part of Iran that's sort of in the south along the Persian Gulf, heading off in the westerly direction.
Now, does that pertain to Damascus and the...
Damascus, the destruction of Damascus.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this would be the Psalm 83 battle, and these nations in Psalm 83 that are mentioned, I'll let people read it for their own, but these nations, just let me read a part of it here. It says, the tabernacles of Edom, and this is in verse 6, and the Ishmaelites of Moab, and the Hagarenes, Gebel and Ammon and Amalek, and it says the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre, Asher is joined with them, they've opened the children of Lot. And in this area that's covered here is essentially, if you draw a circle around Israel and you include Syria, Lebanon, Iraq, Jordan, and sweep that down into the Sinai Peninsula and include Egypt into there, This is basically what it's talking about, and it goes on to talk about how they're destroyed. Verse 13 says, "Oh my God, make them like a wheel, as a stubble before the wind, as a fire burneth the wood, as the flame setteth on the mountains of fire. So persecute them with thy tempest, and make them afraid with thy storm. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek thy name, O Lord. Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the most high over all the earth." And so they're basically, it talks about them being destroyed, without getting into the other passages right now, this is a battle that appears to take place before the Ezekiel 38 battle. And the thing that makes this important when you consider Ezekiel 38 is that in Ezekiel 38, a number of countries are mentioned. And, of course, it uses the ancient names. Persia and Ethiopia and Libya are more familiar names, but Gog and Magog and Meshech and Tubal and places like that. And this includes countries such as Turkey.
Is it Magog that's Russia?
Magog and Meshech is the same word that eventually is that Moscow is derived from. And Tubal, Tublinsk, and different places coming into Soviet Georgia and Armenia and Azerbaijan and places like that in Central Asia.
Turkey's definitely figured.
Yeah, Turkey and also Iran, that's Persia. Ethiopia would have been everything south of Egypt, south of the upper cataracts of the Nile River, which be about where the above where the Aswan Dam is, Lake Nasser. That whole area of Ethiopia would have been referred to as Ethiopia. Today we refer to it as Ethiopia, Sudan, a number of other places, Eritrea and Djibouti and places like that. And then Libya would have been everything west of Egypt. But notice Egypt isn't mentioned there. Syria is not mentioned there.
Israel really is, except for the sea to their west, Mediterranean. They are really landlocked with all their enemies around them, aren't they?
Yeah, but what I'm saying here is since Syria, Lebanon, Egypt, Babylon, some of the other places that are around Israel, immediately around Israel, they're not mentioned, and I believe it's not because of oversight or just, well, they can't mention every country. No, these are important countries, and Ezekiel surely would have mentioned Egypt and Syria for sure, and they're not in there because I think they've been destroyed by this time, and that's the Psalm 83 battle that sets the stage, I believe, for the Ezekiel 38 battle. I think the Psalm 83 battle, I think it'll set the stage not only for the Ezekiel 38 battle, Psalm 83 battle, set the stage for the Ezekiel 38 battle, but it'll also set the stage for the rise of the Antichrist, because if you look in Ezekiel 83,
will they unfold quickly, you think?
I think the Psalm 83 in particular will unfold quickly, as something I was going to say here, in Ezekiel 38, it says in verse number 10, "Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind," talking about Gog, "thou shalt think an evil thought, and thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates." And so this is not Egypt, or I'm sorry, not Israel today. Israel is not a land of unwalled villages dwelling.
No, they're walled with defense.
Right? Exactly. So something has to happen to drastically alter the situation there. And the Psalm 83 battle, when you tie it in with other statements in Isaiah and Ezekiel that talk about the destruction of Damascus, takes place overnight. And in the evening it's there, and in the morning it's not. Suggests a regional nuclear war of some sort. Also, Egypt is destroyed in such a fashion that nobody can live in Egypt for 40 years. And these things have not taken place in history, so they're yet future events. And I think if it's a regional nuclear war that takes place, and also indications are that Israel will be severely depleted during this war, but it will survive, where its immediate neighbors will not. And there's other passages at Babylon, which would equate to some of the areas where Iraq is, that the uninhabitable, again, people won't go there. They won't stay there. Well, if there was a nuclear war, that would explain it.
Exactly.
And so as a result, the world seeing this and the chaos and the and the disruption to the world oil supplies and energy production and everything, I think, could set the stage for the rise of a one-world government, and then the Antichrist come into power with his plan that he approves for bringing peace to the region for 7 years. Now Israel's laid down their weapons. They're allowing the one-world government to defend them. They become the land of the unwalled villages dwelling in peace, and this is where Gog says, you know what? I think now's the ripe time to come in while nobody's paying attention. And we can come in, Ezekiel 38, and they'll find a lot of people willing to go with them.
Oh, fascinating. Well, thank you, Pastor Al.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate that, Tom, and thanks for calling.
Okay, very good. Yeah, great to hear your voice on the air again. So
thank you, sir.
Lord. Okay.
Appreciate that. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And how much time did you say we had? I'm sorry, you were cutting out there. 4 minutes? Okay. We're going to jump to Mark calling in tonight, and Mark, welcome to the program here.
Hey, Pastor Al, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Not too bad. Hey, one thing that I don't think got a lot, even when it happened, you know, about a year ago, was what, can you hear me?
Yeah, you're just cutting off a little bit there. Little
I don't know
spotty.
What it is.
Yeah,
I mean, right. It's demonic. Every time I call in this station, it's like a lot of times there's just this, you know, static.
Yeah, but go ahead.
You know, here we go again.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
You're coming through. Just keep going. We'll try and fill in the blanks.
Okay. Mike DeWine has billed himself as a pro-life candidate for like 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yet when he had the opportunity to shut down the abortion clinics, he did not.
Correct.
That's evil. I think that's more evil than anything he's done, and I really believe that has been overlooked, or maybe, I mean, I'm sorry. I really believe we need to storm heaven's gates, that mm-hmm. God would intervene. And I'm not saying pour judgment and wrath down on him, but he needs to be accountable for that.
Mm-hmm.
And even though the legislature or anybody else may do anything, that is the most, I think that's the most evil thing he's done, because it's murder, but it's also hypocrisy. Using aborted or unborn babies as like a cloak to hide behind and to campaign behind, and then when they can use you most, you turn your back on them. He betrayed them,
mm-hmm.
and it's evil. Now, I don't know how far out your signal gets tonight. You're just on 1220 AM, and that's it?
Well, it also is online, and of course, by virtue of being on at night, the signal goes pretty far.
I would really ask people to pray, even mm-hmm. people in other states, because as despicable as Gavin Newsom is, and Cuomo and Ralph Northam, they're all Democrats. We expect it of them.
Mm-hmm.
What DeWine did, he's despicable. And I have had the misfortune, if you will, or fortune, to talk to like two people that grew up in the near the town he lived in. It's either Yellow Springs or Antioch. I can't remember which
it's
one.
It's all down in the same general area.
Yeah. And he was he was picked on as a kid, and this is his way of getting back at humanity. I'll just say it. He's not on just a power trip. He has taken his frustrations out, I do believe, on humanity. I don't think he cares about people at all. I think all he cares about himself. But when he did not shut down the abortion clinics, he went way over the line, and honestly, I think it's worse than anything that any of the other governors or leaders did, because how have you ever heard of that, with a pro-life candidate or a pro-life politician turning his back on the babies like that? When he had it in his hand,
mm-hmm.
he didn't need anybody's approval. He could have done it himself. He didn't need to go to the legislature or the courts. He could have done it himself, and he didn't do it.
Yeah,
I really think,
Mark, I was going to interrupt you a second because we're coming up on the break here, and I was going to say, you're absolutely right in some of these observations about him. There are a number of people in the pro-life movement and in some of the conservative groups that recognize what you're saying. And so we do need to pray that people get involved. But thank you for bringing that up, Mark. I appreciate that. And I stay tuned. We've got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight right here on AM 1220, The Word. And I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. You can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And we also have our phone lines open tonight at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we invite you to give us a call tonight. And a reminder, I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and we certainly invite you to come out and visit. We have just had some information about that there in the break, and we'll have more information at the close of the program. But we meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, which is located in Richfield, Ohio, midway between Akron and Cleveland, 5171 Brexville Road, right across, right where the Ohio Turnpike and Interstate 77 cross, and we meet in the meeting room there at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. All right, we're going to get back into our program here. We've got callers waiting, and I think we have Mark back with us. And Mark, welcome back. Still there?
Yes, just a quick point.
Yeah, because we wanted to get back. I was even going to follow up on what you said there, so I'm glad you called back.
Oh, okay. I've thought of this. these governors, especially DeWine, there are going to be no repercussions for them. They won't be going to court. They won't be charged. They'll get away with everything they've done, all their screw-ups, all their mistakes, all their crimes, if you ask me. They're going to suffer no repercussions. And in American history, we've never had politicians that have hurt the American people so much. I don't think we have. I don't think I'm overstating that case because of, you know, the suicides, the deaths of elderly people, the loneliness, the child molestations, the crimes, the divorces, everything that's gone up because of these stupid measures they have taken. And I really believe that we need to, as Christians, ask God to intervene and do something in regards to these horrible politicians, these horrible men primarily, that have done what they've done to this country, especially with regards to, like what I said with DeWine, with the babies. Who knows how many unborn babies have been killed because he didn't shut them down. He's got blood on his hands, literally. Or, I'm sorry, figuratively speaking, but he's responsible. These governors are responsible. They are guilty. They are absolutely guilty. And I do believe we need to storm heaven and say, God, please intervene, please stop them and judge them as you see fit. If it's possible, bring them to repentance, like King Manasseh of old. He was a horrible king.
Yes, and
that
king
can be
repentance.
Done. But this has got to stop. These guys are getting away with murder, literally.
Well, and as you're talking about that, we think about this. I did want to make the point. When you look at it, I had said in the last half hour, this week, a year ago, was the last normal week that we had.
Yep.
And then all these draconian things come in, 15 days to flatten the curve, and that's been going on ever since. And one thing's led to another. But do you remember who the health director was for the state of Ohio who was appointed by our pro-life governor?
Amy Acton, whose own mom said she was making stuff up about her past and that she has got some psychological problems.
Well, and not only that, what about her connections to Planned Parenthood?
Despicable.
And yet, our pro-life governor put her in that position.
Yeah.
And this is what gets me. I've looked at him. I've actually met the governor in the past.
I met him once, too.
Yeah, and you know, he talked a good game. I'll be honest. He was not who I had voted for in the primaries. I did not vote for him in the primaries. And that's where we need to pray that God will raise up. If God tarries and we're still here during the next governor election, the primaries, people always say, how do we get these sorry candidates?
Yeah.
Well, they don't vote in the primaries. The primaries where we get a chance to weigh in. And it's not a perfect system. And it doesn't always work the way we'd like it to. But if people don't challenge these people in the primaries for their run, we've got a Senate race coming up. And there's several people on the Republican side lining up for Senator Portman's seat. And there's also some Democrats lining up. And if God's people don't get up and pray about this situation and try to find out which of these candidates is the most pro-life and then start praying for them and supporting them and trying to get them through the primary system so that we can run a good, decent candidate in the fall, you know, we'll have nobody to blame but ourselves, won't we?
Yeah. Yep.
And it's the same thing like you said about with Governor DeWine. You know, why did we get stuck with him? Well, I don't think enough of God's people got out and got involved in the governor's race. And he was able, I think, to pull the wool over a number of people's eyes.
Yes.
And but there were warning signs, like you've pointed out. That's why I didn't vote for him in the primaries. I was uncomfortable with him on some things. I was uncomfortable with him certainly on the Second Amendment issues. He's a gun grabber at heart.
Yeah.
And so when you put all those things together, if we do not get out and go to the ballot box, if we do not get out in the primary elections, and we've got a primary election coming up in, I'm just going to double check it here on my calendar, coming up in May. May the 4th is the primary election here in the state of Ohio, and we will have some candidates running for vying for who's going to be the next senator from the state of Ohio. And I guarantee...
Is that next year, though? 2022?
No, this year, because Portman is... Let me take that back. That'll be next year. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I don't think the election for them, it's not a special election. He's just retiring. He's resigning.
Yeah.
But people need to get out. But there are things that are going to be on the ballot on May the 4th. And see, I see this because I work at the election, at the polls. And I'm one of those people when you come in and you know, to get your ballot and everything. And by the way, if Christians want to make a difference, if you want to get involved, here's a great way to do it. Get involved in the election process. You being there gives you an opportunity to help see that it's going and things are happening correctly.
There's one other thing, too. Now, I know we're upset with the Supreme Court because of what they did or what they didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
However, God did intervene with Ruth Bader Ginsburg's death.
Yes, he did.
Now, he removed her. And I'm not saying God kill this guy or kill that guy and all that, but God can intervene in ways that transcend the ballot box.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, that's an absolute
understatement
because God is God.
Daniel chapter 2 talks about him raising up kings and taking kings down. And on my website, livewithpastoral.com, I actually have an article there called Why? Looking at the last presidential election, why did God allow things to turn out the way that they did? And, we are in the last days, and it's more and more important as we get closer to the Lord's return for Christians to be busy about the Lord's work. And part of the Lord's work means getting involved in the political scene around us. Paul told Timothy, to pray for those that are in authority. You can see that right there in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, where he says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications and prayers, intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And you know how many pulpits are silent on political issues?
Yes.
I know of pastors, godly men, but they will not touch political issues in their church.
They're scared because they don't want to make the flock scared. Because
yeah.
if they make the flock scared, then they might not get as much money in the plate.
Well, I was going to say, that's another part of it, too. Sometimes they're just more scared of how it'll affect the offering plate than anything else. But it says right here, praying for kings and all that are in authority that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. How can you pray for kings and those in authority if you don't talk about what they're doing?
Yes.
And the pulpits...
We have not lived a quiet and peaceable life the past year.
Well, the pulpits have been silent on these political candidates. The pulpits in Ohio have been silent on Governor DeWine. The pulpits across America have been silent on Joe Biden and many of these others that are in authority positions. And who do we have to blame for that? We can't blame God for that.
Yeah.
It's our fault. We've not done what God asked us to do. And I'm talking as a pastor. Pastors have not done what God's called us to do. We're what Jesus referred to in the Old Testament as dumb dogs. Dumb meaning can't speak. That's not intelligence-wise. It's in the sense of can't speak. What good's a watchdog that can't bark?
We're so prayerless too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, back in the 1840s, when Alexis de Tocqueville toured America,
mm-hmm.
he said it was when he went into the churches and heard the pulpits aflame with righteousness that he discovered America's greatness. And I don't believe it was just that they were aflame with righteousness. I believe they were also praying men, praying pastors. Oswald Chambers said, prayer doesn't prepare us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work.
And it's usually the least done work.
What?
It's usually the least done work.
That's right. And we have got to get back to it. Charles Spurgeon said that the spiritual barometer of any church is the prayer meeting. Some churches don't even have prayer meetings, and they're dead from the neck down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we have got to get back to prayer. Not only is corporately as a body of believers in a church, but also ourselves. We have to spend time with the Lord in prayer, seeking mm-hmm. His face, seeking Him, and then interceding for the needs that He puts on our hearts and the needs that we know about. We've got to pray. We have absolutely got to pray. And I believe that one reason God allowed Biden to rip this, you know, presidency out of Trump's hands was to drive Christians to their knees.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really believe for 4 years we squandered the freedom that we made that was maintained. I do believe the church has squandered that liberty because you didn't hear about more prayer and more prayer until the election. And mm-hmm. it's like, I'm sorry, we should take advantage of this. And people are talking about revival. How about we just start repenting? Let's mm-hmm. start repenting. That's our choice. God will send revival. That's His choice.
Well, and again, that's what we need to do, and I appreciate your passion and the things you're bringing up here tonight. That's what needs to be heard across our country. Mark, I hope you'll call us again sometime. You sound much better this time.
Okay.
I appreciate that, and I got to get to some other callers here tonight, but don't be a stranger. God bless.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. And we're going to jump over to Terry. We missed Terry last week. We ran out of time. So, Terry, we're popping you up in here right now. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Thanks very much. Praying for effectively for the loss.
Yeah.
That's what we need to do, right?
Yeah, and praying for our leaders. And let me give you something else, too, I was thinking about there as Mark left us and we came over here to you. Paul in Ephesians 6 asked for people to pray for him. He said that utterance may be given unto me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So we need to pray for people in the ministry well.
Pray with those ceasing.
Yeah, and it occurred to me that if your pastor's not addressing these things, he's not doesn't seem to be concerned about, pray for him that God will light a fire under him.
Yeah, and pray for everyone that we pray, myself included.
Yeah, we pray one for another. Pray for, God will lay certain specific people on your life or heart from time to pray for as well, obviously. But, we need to do more of this. But,
I was going to mention a couple things about the last week, a couple weeks ago. I was talking about the Jehovah Witnesses.
Yes.
There's a couple things that came to my attention. One thing is that their explanation about when people saw Jesus, what they saw was materialization.
You're talking about the resurrected Christ, right?
Right. And what people say that people saw was a materialization, which is demonic.
and it's completely contrary to the scriptures too, because I was thinking. Remember when Jesus appeared to the disciples, they were in the upper room and they were hiding behind the locked door because they were afraid, because they thought, you know, hey, we might be next, that they might be coming for us. They didn't know what was going to happen. And Jesus came in, and remember, they were afraid. And let me see here. I think it's in, here it is, John chapter 20 in verse 19. It says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And one of the other Gospels relates that they thought they were looking at a ghost.
Yes.
Remember, and he asked for some food. They gave him a piece of fish, I think it was, or something, honeycomb, and he ate that, and he asked them to come and see the marks on his hands and his side, and they found that he was a real substantial material, had a body of flesh and bone standing before them.
Yeah, and spiritualism is a paranormal.
Yes.
Normal literature, like it's.
Well, and you're dealing with devils. You're dealing with the false spirits when you're engaged in spiritualism. It's essentially witchcraft. You're turning to some sort of spiritual source other than God. The only spiritual source that we ought to turn to is God himself. And certainly as Christians, that's the only spiritual source we ought to be turning to.
And I wanted to make a quick correction that I made a couple of weeks ago about worlds.
Hmm.
They added an S to it. It was apostrophe S.
And that was what again?
In John 2:2, it talks about, we were talking about the world, and they added an S. They put worlds.
Oh, in the Gospel of John, chapter 2,
yeah.
Verse 2?
First Epistle of John, chapter 2, yeah, 2.
And, okay, that wouldn't be verse 2. Where are we talking about?
And they were talking about world. They put, it says world, and they put world.
Okay, that's going to be a verse other than verse 2, because that verse 2 says, and both Jesus was got to the marriage supper of Cana there.
Oh, no, the epistle. First epistle.
Oh, I'm sorry, First John. I'm yeah. Sorry. We're here in the Gospel of John. I'm sorry, my mistake there.
That's okay.
Yeah.
But it was actually apostrophe S that they put there, which doesn't really still mean the same thing. It means something different.
Yeah, and he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And and you said they put world's apostrophe S?
Right.
For the
apostrophe, yeah.
Meaning the world's sins.
Yeah, like Jesus is the world's best.
Yeah, and this is saying the sins of the whole world mean the people in the world, which also tells us that salvation is available for anybody in the world that's willing to come to him.
Right. So, yeah, a couple of weeks ago, I'm just kind of, well, I guess you might have an answer. They're not going to, there's somebody else on there. I didn't want to hold you too much longer. But
mm-hmm.
You mentioned a couple of weeks ago about praying for Biden on, when you were on John Lutz's show?
Yeah, I believe we were talking about praying for his salvation, for one thing.
Right. And you got me thinking about that, you know, and I've been thinking about the Catholics for a long time, because he's technically a Catholic. And the question is are Catholics saved? You know?
Well, you know, we actually had a discussion about this after church this morning, and I was talking about how there are some, but they get saved in spite of the Catholic Church. I have sitting next to me the, let me just reach over here a second. I didn't grow up Catholic. I grew up in a Baptist church. So, you know, I found at a yard sale, garage sale or something one time, not too long after this came out, I found the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Somebody said, anybody can write something and claim that it's authoritative. Well, this particular book was written by then Cardinal Ratzinger at the request and direction of Pope John Paul II, and it's got a rather lengthy apostolic constitution fidei depositium or something on the publication of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, where John Paul writes his endorsement and the importance of this book. And, of course, most people realize that Cardinal Ratzinger went on to become Pope Benedict, the pope that followed John Paul II. And then, of course, Benedict retired or whatever that he did, and Pope Francis came in. So this is not a book written by anybody. This is the statement of what the Roman Catholic Church gives us. And as you go through it, you know, you can't know for sure that you're going to heaven according to this.
Yeah, because they believe that you're saved by works.
Yeah.
And the same with the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons, and they all believe that you have to be saved by works, but that's not the gospel.
Yeah, I just flipped open at random here, and on page 288 and 289, it's talking about the sacraments and the importance of the sacraments and how doing the sacraments and fulfilling these things, receiving the sacraments, however you call it, is what's important to your salvation.
Right.
And, you know, we put our faith in Christ. You know, salvation is by grace through faith, according to Ephesians 2:8, and Romans 10:17 says faith cometh by hearing the word of God.
and hearing by the word of God. Yeah, and they teach like transubstantiation and stuff like that. But that's, you know, that's not of God.
Yeah. Elsewhere in here, talking about Mary, it says that Mary is the co-redemptress.
Yeah, and she's still a virgin.
Yeah, and I'm talking about in the area of salvation, they say that she's partly involved in our salvation.
Right.
And this is not scriptural. This is not biblical. It is a false doctrine. They also talk about, it says right here, we believe in the communion of all the faithful of Christ, those who are pilgrims on earth, the dead who are being purified, and the blessed in heaven. So they proclaim a false doctrine that actually was lifted from paganism, purgatory, the dead who are being purified. No, if you died without Christ, you know, the Bible is very clear. I was in the Gospel of John earlier. John chapter 3, verse 18 says, we're condemned already, John writes. John chapter 3, verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Unless we put our faith in Christ, we're not saved. Doesn't matter how many sacraments you've had.
That's what he came into the world for. He came into the world to die for us.
Exactly. And sacraments are not going to get us to heaven. Paul was very clear in that in the book of Ephesians. I was just checking the time here. I've got Nancy waiting for us as well. And when we look at this, it's very clear. Salvation is by grace through faith. And grace, you know, the Bible says here, let me just read Ephesians 2. And I don't know if we're going to get to Nancy. We might lose Nancy tonight. We lost you last night or last week. But let me just read this verse here, Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, he says in verse 9, lest any man should boast. You cannot earn your way into heaven by doing sacraments. You can only throw yourself upon the mercy of the Lord, believing that Jesus Christ, as God in the flesh, shed his blood to pay for your sins, and that he died on the cross in our place. He was buried. He rose again the third day, victorious over sin and death. You're absolutely right, Terry. It's something that needs to be pointed out. But
that was the first thing that I talked to you about when I first called in was by grace alone that we saved.
Exactly, exactly. Well, Terry, we're out of time. I apologize to Nancy tonight, but I hope you'll join us again next time. And thanks for listening, everybody. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com.